Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike, let's go. It occurs to me that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the Cubs. I will rectify that as we get closer to 8:30. And then 9 o'clock, we're going to talk with Bruce Levine. We spent a lot of time talking about the NBA and a little bit of time talking about the Bulls just because the NBA is crazy right now. And I threw this out on Twitter. We've been discussing it for the last like 10 minutes or so. What does team building look like in the era of the Golden State Warriors? What then becomes important to try and build? How do you do it? 312 Texter says, you approach Golden State in the same manner you would were that if you were that Band-Aid of a YMCA team who's got next going up against the team that's been on the court all day long. You know you don't have much of anything at all, but you stay prepared just in case that good team takes you for granted and has an off game. Okay, but what does that mean for an NBA team? If the NBA was a league where you were playing tournament style knockout games, then you might have a chance, but in a 7-game series, you got no shot. You really don't. And I keep wondering, like, what are the conversations amongst NBA executives? Like, I like Daryl Morey. I really like the way that he says, look, we're obsessed with the Warriors. And we're trying to put together a team that can beat the Warriors. I like Russ. I like what Russell was, because Russ doesn't care. Russ is like, I will take it to your throat. It doesn't matter that my team's not good enough. I'm going to try. I like his approach. But Russ is one of the top 10 players in the league. And Houston has the MVP. And none of it seems to be enough. So if you're starting from ground zero, like the Bulls or some of these other teams, do you even worry about it? Maybe that's the right approach. If you're those teams, are the Golden State Warriors even on your radar? Or are you like, well, let's see if we can get to a point where we're a playoff-like team? I wonder in an honest moment, would Pax like tell you the truth about that? And then how do you explain it to your fan base? And I'm not even talking specifically about the Bulls. I'm talking about any team in the NBA right now. How do you explain to your fan base what your plan is? Apparently, there's some people in Indiana who are very excited about the Pacers. Okay. Congratulations. And it's great. I guess if you're Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, Indiana, you're like, we might win the East. Were you going to ask someone else in there? Or are you saying maybe, Mike?
Just maybe. I mean, you're looking at Boston and Philadelphia are the two big dogs.
So sure.
It's a maybe for Indiana.
Here's what I'm telling every team that thinks they have a chance to win the East. Do you trust that Joel Embiid will be healthy all year? Because to me, the answer is no. Do you trust that Kyrie Irving will be healthy all year? Although I think that in the next 2 years, he will not be the best player on the Celtics. I think it'll be Jason Tatum.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jordan Hayward.
Gordon.
Nope, Jordan. No,
he's a good player.
That's what Weber calls him.
He shouldn't. Just like people should have never called Harold Miner Baby Jordan because he was bald. He dunks a lot. He's just like Jordan. Mm-mm. 224 Texas says, the NBA blows. The drama is bigger than the game. I disagree. Game's pretty great. It's fun to see all these teams try. 352 Texter says, the Rockets could have very easily beaten the Warriors if Paul didn't get hurt. I don't know about easily, but they had a chance. But they have the MVP and a system and a general manager who is obsessed with the Warriors and has been trying to build a team specifically to beat the Warriors. 630, you either get big free agents or get assets like Boston has. The Bulls have neither. It's fair. Can't argue with you. 708 Texter. The Lakers have LeBron and four scrubs. They have no chance. This is what I was trying to tell people in the barbershop today, but no one wanted to listen to me. They think Rondo is great. I think Rondo's good. I think Rondo can't shoot. And that's going to be a when we're talking about, let's say you want to match up with either. If you're the Lakers and you want to match up with either Houston or Golden State, if you can't shoot, you're dead. You take your one win, you'll get your one dumb win and go home. Where's LeBron going to get shooting? If we talk with Jamie Maggio, we're supposed to talk with her in a few minutes. I want to ask her about that. Where's the shooting coming from? Saginaw, Michigan, and Bobby. Hey, Bobby, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. I'm enjoying the topic. So, I think at this point, the best chance to beat the Warriors, if I was putting a team together, is somewhat that what the Bulls are doing. So they have some young pieces that still none of them appear to be really like a star, the guy. Like, I like Markkanen, but I think if you can keep a young core like the Bulls have and maintain a little cap flexibility and just hope that a couple of stars want to pair up somewhere and that you're appealing enough for them. At this point, that's the best thing I can think of to try to do anything that the Warrior on that level of basketball. I mean, that's just, you got to hope a couple of stars want to team up, hopefully, and you're in position to get them.
Well, it's funny. That's where I think that there's some hope in what Herbie was saying. Where you see Paul George, who everyone thought was coming to Los Angeles. L.A. guy, he's going to go out to Los Angeles. He gets to Oklahoma City, and he likes it there. And he likes playing with Russ. And he's like, you know what? This might be an easier and still satisfying route to get there. But how do you go about convincing someone if you don't have a top 10 player on your roster? That's kind of is Markkanen a top 10 player? Is Zach LaVine, do they have the potential to turn into a top 10 player? I say no, but I would like to hold out a little bit of hope. Markkanen has got the makeup where maybe he turns into one of the more dangerous guys in the league. Oakbrook and John. Hey, John, you're on the score.
Hey, how you doing, bud? I was just calling to say that I kind of agreed with what you were saying before and just that, when you're talking about the smaller market teams or the teams that can't even compete or how do you rebuild, I don't even think the Warriors are a focus, in those teams' mind. I think, at the end of the day, it's just a business. And as long as you're turning a profit and putting some asses in the seats, that's really just the goal number one, to not lose your job as a GM. The NBA has always been a big dog type of league. Even before the Warriors' days, I mean, we know that it was just, usually two, three, four teams on top. It's always where the big players are. and the same teams always have the higher chances and stuff. There's not a lot of parity in the leagues in comparison to other, you know, big American sports. So, you know, you just enjoy it for the tradition of what it is and watch the Monsters play and, you know, always root for that Cinderella to maybe squeak their way far in the playoffs. But, you know, it's just usually not going to happen. So I think a lot of GMs are just real with the sport that's there.
I appreciate the phone call. I don't think that there are a lot of GMs that are just trying to fill their seats. I do think that these guys are trying to win. It's just hard to understand how you do it now. A texter says, only way to create Dubs killers is if the Lakers can get Kawhi and a couple of shooters. Is McDermott next? Like Doug? Doug's playing in Indiana now.
That's why the Pacer fans are all hyped. They got Dougie and Tyreek Evans.
And Victor Oladipo.
The best player ever.
Apparently. I think that it's fine to be excited if you're the Pacers. The Eastern, like, I'm sure that right now, in Indy, they're like, the Eastern Conference is ours! The beast is dead! Well, kinda. He's just not here anymore. And I'm sure those other teams look at Toronto and go, those guys are soft! We can beat them.
No, you can't. You're not the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You're not LeBron James, because that's their kryptonite. LeBron James won that series against the Raptors when he stepped on the floor. The Raptors were like, oh, bleep. Him? Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Hey, Mr. Lawrence Holmes, it's been a long time since I talked to you, man. But you know what? I am so bored of the NBA. That last texter that you said talked about the drama's bigger than the game. I agree with that 1,000%. The fact that the NBA has allowed these teams to be manufactured the way they are, these teams are by default going to win, not because they were put together, but it's all about the money, like the last caller said. And
what do you mean they weren't put together?
What do you mean?
The Warriors were put together? They drafted Steph Curry. They drafted Klay Thompson. They drafted Draymond Green.
I'm just not talking about the war. I'm just talking about
right.
the disparity between the West and the East.
Okay. But
I mean, why even watch the East?
To see who could take over now that LeBron is gone.
You know?
To watch Victor Oladipo. I'm being told by all these people that Victor Oladipo is worth watching. And that the Pacers are on the rise. But there's hope. There's hope in the Eastern Conference now. If you're Toronto, if you're Philly, if you're Boston, if you're Washington, if you're the Pacers, there's hope. You gotta have hope. Mustn't sit around and mope. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when we've got hope. I bet you didn't think I was gonna break out into damn Yankees tonight, did you? Next up, Hamilton. Back after this on the score. Thank you so much for hanging out tonight. We know you're probably on your way to go check out fireworks, that you're looking forward to seeing what the deal is tonight and celebrating tomorrow and then having to go back to work on Thursday morning, which is going to be interesting for people. It's very weird that the 4th of July drops in the middle of the week and it feels like everyone is out of town and there's not going to be any work done on the 5th. Trust. It'll be like the beginning of the NCAA tournament, those first 2 days where no one does a thing. We're talking about the Bulls. We're talking about the NBA. We're talking about LeBron. And it's great to have Jamie Maggio on the show, sports anchor at KCAL TV and sideline reporter for TNT. I wanted to pick her brain on a lot of stuff. Jamie, first of all, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I know that you're incredibly busy.
Yeah, it's been busy in L.A. the last few days for us sports media people.
So break this down for me. Once the news happened Sunday night that LeBron is going to make it official and come to Los Angeles, what was your day like and what was the reaction like?
Well, if you really want to hear it, my day, I had gotten 2 hours of sleep because I was in Denver the night before for a wedding, came back and thought it would be, a chill Sunday night. Anchoring the sports desk, and it was not. I mean, we were doing updates throughout the night along with our normal sports hits. And the whole place, the city is really excited. The last 5 years, as you know, Lakers have missed the playoffs, which is the longest playoff drought in franchise history. They've missed out on, every free agent that they've targeted over the last 5 years, Carmelo Anthony, LaMarcus Aldridge. So to finally not just land a big name free agent, but LeBron James, it is beyond exciting. It feels as though the, fortunes are finally changing and starting to head in a positive direction. And, everybody's really just so excited about it.
So when it comes to putting together a sports cast, look, you got two really good baseball teams. You got Ohtani coming back out there.
Yes.
But is your cast now dominated by LeBron?
Yes. We are leading with LeBron James. And of course we get to our Dodgers and Angels news and any other news that we have with, Rams and Chargers in town too. And the Clippers haven't done much in free agency thus far, besides re-signing Avery Bradley. But Avery Bradley. This is what LeBron has turned my brain to mush. LeBron is the lead pretty much in every sports hit that we're doing at CBS and KCAL.
So how do you think that how does LeBron improve the team other than being LeBron? This was a team that won 35 games last year. They still have a ways to go before you're getting even to Denver. You got to pick up 10 games on Denver, who was left out of the playoffs last year with 46 wins. So how do they think with what they already have, if it's status quo and there's no trade to get Kawhi Leonard, for example, how are they feel like they're better?
Well, look at last year. Remember at the trade deadline when the Cavs pretty much unloaded their entire roster and LeBron had a whole new set of teammates around him, and they still went to the finals. I think you can put LeBron on just about any roster, and he is just that type of player that can take over a game and result in a win. And these guys, this young core, showed a lot of fight last year and a lot of improvement as the season went on. Disappointed that the Lakers had to lose Julius Randle in all of this. He went a 2-year deal to go play with the Pelicans. But I just think LeBron, the way that he is as a player, much like Kobe Bryant was, that this franchise was fortunate enough to have and to witness. Kobe could take over a game like that. That's the kind of guy LeBron is. So how is he going to make guys better? I think by the way that he prepares for the games, or the way that he is, serious in the locker room and at practice, and his approach to getting ready for a game, I think is going to rub off on everybody else
in LA. Obviously, Magic Johnson is revered. What have the people in L.A. thought of him as an executive?
Well, you saw that he came out a couple days ago and said, if I don't, live up to my promises of improving this franchise, Jeannie Buss won't have to fire me. I'll step down. And, my Magic Johnson, I don't know anyone who has the Midas touch like he does. And it's not just what he did for the Showtime Lakers. It's not just the fact that he gives back to the community. He's got movie theaters. He owns Starbucks, not to mention he has his own businesses. Everything is successful now. He owns the Dodgers. He owns the Sparks. He's part owner of the LAFC. And he's literally, taken over the sports world in Los Angeles. And I think that people were excited to see what Magic would do. They believe in his charisma. That is evident to anybody who, you know, you don't even have to come in contact with him. You could watch him in interviews and see him on TV and see that smile that Magic has, and the charisma, and also the respect that people have for him because of what he's accomplished as a professional and as a former player. But people now with this signing with LeBron, they're pretty jazzed up, and you know, yeah, Magic should run for mayor of L.A. next, I think.
Do you think that Magic's ability in him turning himself into a mogul played any role in LeBron wanting to be there and be right underneath him and learn how he built his post-NBA life?
Lawrence, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think that that probably was a huge part of, you know, LeBron has so much respect for Magic, and LeBron is building his own empire now, even though he's still playing. He's got his media company based here in Los Angeles, and I think that LeBron feels like he can learn a thing or two from Magic in that regard. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Talking with Jamie Maggio, sports anchor at KCAL. You can see her on the sidelines when it comes to college basketball, TNT as well. What's the most fun part about doing sideline reporting?
The most fun? Just being that close to the game. And with all the preparation that we do to get ready for a broadcast, you might hear maybe three or four of the stories that we've uncovered in our research. But in reality, there's like 25 stories. You know, so much of it doesn't get in. So you just learn so much about the players and the coaches and all these great storylines that for me as a fan, and especially, you know, people always ask me as a female, what draws me to the game? And it's not necessarily the X's and O's, it's the stories. So for me, that's the best part of being a sideline reporter is really having, you know, building and cultivating those relationships with people and learning their stories.
How much time do you think for, like, let's say that you were going to call a game tomorrow night, you were going to be on the sidelines tomorrow night. How much time goes into the prep that you do to try and dig those stories out?
It depends. Like, am I finding out I'm doing the game tomorrow? Am I just finding out now? I mean, you just kind of get on it as soon as you can. And, you know, over the years of working in the business, you have, you know, contacts, and you can lean on people and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be doing this game. What do you know about so-and-so? Or, you know, you get to know trainers over the years and, you know, agents and things like that. So that all kind of, you just, everything is a resource. You know, you've got to use it all to try and get as much information as you can.
Do you have a favorite story that you've told during a game broadcast?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I've been doing this for a few years now. I'd have to, I don't know.
All right, we'll circle back to that.
Sorry.
But I mean, like, I always wonder.
A long week.
I always wonder about, you know, if because sometimes, like, there might be a story you have in your pocket that you don't necessarily, because the game action will change and maybe you don't have time to tell it, like those sorts of things.
What? This is a funny story. So I can't remember how many years ago it was, but Ben Hansbrough was playing at Notre Dame, and I was covering Notre Dame and March Madness in the tournament. And I happened to see this guy sitting in the lobby of the hotel, and I was waiting for the elevator or something. So I said hello and get to talking, and it was Greg Hansbrough, which is Ben and Tyler's older brother who has a disability. And I just had a conversation with him and was able to report about this brother who Tyler and Ben totally look up to and have so much respect for. And how would I have known that that was the Hansbrough brother had I not just said, you know, randomly said hello to someone in the lobby? So sometimes it's the most random situations where you can, you know, uncover information, and, you know, it ended up being like a heartfelt report. So, you know, you always have to keep your eyes and ears open and be receptive to, you know, the climate around you.
We were talking before you jumped on about team building in the NBA now in the era of the Warriors. And my hypothesis is if you
where do you stand on this? Where do you stand?
My thing is, if you don't have LeBron, you probably don't have a chance. LeBron's a really good place to start, and everyone else is in trouble. Like, I'm looking at it from the perspective of the Bulls. The Bulls are in this rebuild, and you wonder, do the Bulls think about, well, we have to start putting a team together that we think at some point might be able to beat the Bulls? Like, I really like what Daryl Morey does in Houston, that he's gone on record and said, I'm obsessed with the Warriors, that I'm trying to build a team specifically to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. And I just wonder if the rest of the NBA can function that way.
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, every team is looking right now at the Warriors blueprint going, yeah, this works. What they're doing up there in Golden State works. So, you know, people are going to follow suit and try. I mean, they are the team to beat every year. So, of course, people are trying to strategize and build their own rosters to compete with the Warriors. I'm personally not a huge fan of the super team. I do think it damages the level of competition in the game, you know, and the West is so strong, you know, it's well, sorry, because you're with the Bulls and Eastern Conference. No offense, okay? But the East, you know, you guys are weak. You gotta rise to the challenge. I mean, and hey, the Bulls could maybe go deep into the playoffs now that LeBron's not in Cleveland. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, I think the Bulls are still a little ways away
right now. Thanks a lot.
but I think that, you know, if you're Toronto or obviously Philly and Boston, especially if you're Toronto, though, like, you're so happy that LeBron's gone if you're Toronto.
No, for sure.
I mean, you have.
I really thought LeBron would, you know, as we're sitting here wondering where he's going to go, I thought he would go to the Sixers. And I thought, oh, maybe Houston. I did not really see him coming to the Lakers. I was surprised. But I did think he would stay in the East. I felt like he would stay in the East. So for him to leave, I mean, the West is going to be crazy.
Well, what does it mean that LeBron's not having, like, a thing? That there's
press
just
conference?
Yeah. Like, here's a statement.
But you want him to have the decision 3.0?
No.
Now that we had enough of that, like, it's about damn time this guy flies under the radar a little bit.
No, you're right, but I figured that the Lakers would want to do something.
I mean, they're going to do something, but I don't think it's going to be the big, you know, pomp and circumstance that we've seen with LeBron's announcements when he's changing teams and, you know, previous times.
Okay, that makes sense. I was just thinking Showtime, it's L.A.,
I'm watching LeVar Ball on CNN right now.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see the conversation that goes down between those two.
Well, he's been on CNN quite a bit, right? With his son and China and everything else. How do you think that LeBron navigates that? Because that's a little bit of a different issue, and he's got the guys that are on the roster right now that they've signed to the 1-year deals plus Lonzo. It's an interesting collection of guys that they've had there, Jamie.
I mean, I love Rondo. I know Rondo is a Celtic. I know he's had, you know, beef with previous teams and coaches, but I love Rondo. I think he's incredibly smart, and I think he's going to make the team better. Just the type of competitor that he is going to help, I think, the young guys, you know, learn again how to get ready for the game and prepare and you know, take it seriously. But what was your question? Oh, I think that I think LeBron, I mean, I think his BS meter is probably, you know, doesn't have much of a tolerance for
Lance Stevenson and JaVale McGee.
You know what? Do you think that these guys would be signed if LeBron wasn't okay with it?
Well, see, that's Jamie, honestly, that's the thing that I can't quite figure out, because it seems like you have, and look, I know how Rondo was here and he was really good for the young guys at the Bulls, and they all swore by him. When those young guys here were angry at Jimmy Butler and angry at Dwayne Wade, they loved Rajon Rondo. So I know that he can have a positive impact on young guys, even though he's a tad bit mercurial. But with Lance Stevenson, this has been a willing foil of LeBron James, and a guy that, quite honestly, has not really lived up to what his potential was when he came out of high school and when he came out of college. And with JaVale McGee, he seems like when I look at JaVale McGee, I'm like, that's a lovable guy who just can't quite get right. And I just wonder if LeBron is at a point in his career where he doesn't want to have to drag along some of these guys that might not match up to what he is as far as player preparation and seriousness goes.
I see what you're saying, but I really don't believe that Magic and Rob Pelinka went out and just signed a bunch of hacks after they got LeBron and thought, well, LeBron's going to carry us. We'll be good. We'll just put whatever pieces around him now.
Okay.
I can't wrap my head around that one. I'm sure that this all makes sense. And personally, I mean, I like JaVale too. I think that he's a good locker room guy. And the whole Lance thing, if him and LeBron truly had beef, you know, I mean, we see it, and that's playoff, you know, you're seeing a playoff competition between those two with the ear blowing and all that stuff. They're not going to bring Lance if LeBron hates him.
Okay, so here on my radio show, Jamie Maggio is saying, bring Swaggy P back to the Lakers and let's just add him in. Do you know how great? It would be so great.
Swaggy was a blast because he would talk at win or loss. He would talk to you forever, and he was always in a good mood, which I think actually kind of bothered some people. Like, why is he not upset because they're losing so much when he was with the Lakers? Obviously, he's got a nice championship right now. But, yeah, Swaggy was great.
Jamie, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I hope we get an opportunity to talk again.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Jamie Maggio from KCAL TV. Out in LA. That was fun. That was fun. That was really good. I like that, how down she was for the conversation. Have a little fun throwing it back at me. That's the way it's supposed to be when you get a good guest on. I mean, don't we have to now start the Swaggy P to the Lakers? He's a free agent, right?
He is a free agent.
Let's go. Let's go.
They only got about $7 million,
though. It's fine. Swaggy P doesn't need much. Doesn't need much. Wouldn't that be the perfect guy now?
Oh, man, just a clown show. Total clown show.
You need someone to shoot.
I mean, he will shoot. I don't know if he'll make him.
He will shoot all the time.
Just looking, like, you know that LeBron meme that he's looking at J.R. Smith? That's just all the time with Swaggy P.
That's true. And maybe I should give LeBron more credit because, I mean, he did have to deal with J.R. There weren't any other in recent Cavs history. There aren't any more knuckleheads, right? There was JR. Like, everyone else is pretty buttoned up.
Did he ever? I mean, I know he didn't play that much for the Cavs, but Andrew Bynum. I don't know if he played if they intersected. I don't think so.
Maybe. I mean, Tristan Thompson has his stuff going on, but when it came to the game itself, he was ready to go.
Anthony Bennett's not a knucklehead. He just couldn't play.
Yeah. I almost felt like Anthony Bennett is on somebody's TBT team. Or is he somewhere overseas playing? Where's Anthony Bennett these days? We're on the lookout. I gotta type this in. Where is Anthony Bennett?
It looks like he is in the NBA G League.
Oof.
Playing for the Maine Red Claws.
Oof.
He was a EuroLeague champion, though, last year, though.
Number one pick overall, correct?
Correct.
Canada. One of the guys influenced by Vince Carter. I highly recommend. Like, tomorrow, you probably got some stuff. You don't have anything to do during the day. If you're on Netflix, there's a documentary on Vince Carter. Strangely enough, LeBron produced it. It's really, really good. You should check it out. And it talks about how he influenced all these guys. Like, Vince Carter was the difference between some of these guys playing basketball, picking up a hockey stick. So it's a fascinating documentary. I know tomorrow, maybe I'll try and finish season 2 of Luke Cage. It's really good. Thomas Jones, man. If you're watching Luke Cage and being like, that guy looks like Thomas Jones, it is Thomas Jones. And he is out there doing work with his SAG card. And he was part of Luke Cage last year, but a very small part. Now he's one of the central characters of the show. It's great to see, man. I'm really happy for Thomas that he has turned this into a career for himself. Like, he is a working actor. Making movies and stuff. was in Straight Outta Compton. You're like, wait, he was in Straight Outta Compton? Yeah, he was. But I'm through the first four episodes of season two of Luke Cage. And I guess Lucy Liu is directing most of this season. They do, of the Marvel shows so far, I've liked Luke Cage and Punisher the best. I mean, I like Daredevil. I enjoyed the Defenders. I'm married to Jessica Jones. So I am. I'm very much married to Jessica Jones. And Iron Fist can go pound salt as far as I'm concerned.
Apparently they fix him in the second season of Luke Cage, is what I've read.
Spoilers.
They fix him from being a jerk?
No, they fix his character.
Oh.
A lot of people have actually said that they did a really good job of adding him into the second season of Luke Cage and then basically
turning him into the guy that he's supposed
exactly,
to be.
Exactly, yes.
Instead of the clown that they've had for the last 2 years. Okay. They've done a great job with his girlfriend. She's a great character. And she's on Luke Cage, too. All right, we'll take a break. Some other stuff I want to get into. I still haven't played the Malika Andrews. I'll do that before 9 o'clock. Talking basketball. We're going to throw in a little bit of baseball after 9. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. A texter sent me this, and it's crazy. I'll tell you after this. This hour being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And this segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. If you go to Wikipedia and put in Thomas Jones, it says Thomas Jones is an American actor. And former American. He ran for 10,000 yards in the league. Damn. That is a transition for your ass right there. How great is that? Thomas Jones is an American actor and former American football running back who played 12 seasons in the National. See, it'd be different if we were talking about a guy who played 2 years in the NFL. There's a bunch of those guys around. Like Terry Crews is one of those guys. He's one of those, like, oh, he, like, played football at some point.
Like Fred Dreyer?
Right. No, I thought like Fred Dreyer was a better player than that, though.
Ed Marinara?
Sure. Apollo Creed. Carl Weathers. Like, if you look at that, Carl Weathers, like, used to play football for the Chiefs, right? Wasn't he a Chief?
That sounds right.
But now for Thomas Jones, it says first he's an actor. You know what, Herbie? Thursday, I might have to bring back the last time Thomas was on the show.
Or could you ask him if he can come on again?
No, let's leave him be. I don't want to wear out our welcome with Thomas.
Like, I mean, it's kind of like Dick Butkus. You don't even think about his football anymore. You think about hang time.
Running together.
Oh, Dick Butkus played football? I just thought of him as coach. Fuller.
The short-ass full court that they had going on hang time. What's Julie doing these days? I bet you she still give you buckets.
I think she's still in high school. Yeah.
I don't think that is the case.
She was in high school for like 7 years.
She was.
On that team.
Anthony Anderson now, is getting ready to get divorced on Blackish. And he used to, was it Teddy? Was that the name of his character on Hang Time?
Teddy Brodus, I believe.
See, I have this fantasy. I have this fantasy of interviewing Anthony Anderson and only asking him questions about Hang Time. Not any of the movies that he's done. I don't want to talk to him about Barbershop. I don't want to talk to him about hosting the BET Awards or Blackish. I only want to ask him questions about Hang Time. Like, can you still shoot? Were you able to shoot when you were on Hang Time? Was it Reggie Theus, his coach, or was it Butkus by then? What was it like playing for Reggie Theus or Dick Butkus? Why did you guys never go down to the other end of the court? Wouldn't it be hilarious if we found out that Julie on Hang Time was Jamie Maggio and, like, we didn't ask her any questions?
I mean, there were six seasons and Julie Connor was in every one of them.
In high school?
In high school.
How many episodes?
Let's see.
And on Hang Time, did they keep a story arc? Because on Saved by the Bell,
yeah, like erased it a couple times.
Yeah, like no matter what happened the week before, it didn't matter the next week.
I mean, it didn't matter show to show, like, because they started in Indiana with Screech, Lisa, and Zach.
Good morning, Miss Bliss.
Yeah, and Principal Belding, and they all moved. All four of those people moved to California.
They all moved there.
Ditch Mikey.
And what's her name?
I don't even know her name. She was terrible. Actress. Oh, I mean, terrible character. The actress was all right. 104 episodes, so all 104, Julie Connor.
We're hot, we're in the zone. Part of a team, never alone. Hang Time.
Jay Hernandez also.
Was he on that team too? Oh, yeah, he was.
Season 4, season 5, and 6.
He joined with Teddy, right? Was he and Anthony Anderson were on the same team?
They were not. Anthony Anderson only seasons 2 and 3.
Okay. And then he went on to do other stuff.
Yeah, and Dick Buck is coached from 4 to 6. 1 to 3 were Reggie Theus.
So would I be a bad guy if I somehow got Anthony Anderson on and then we only talked about Hang Time? There's part of me that feels like Anthony Anderson would appreciate that. Like, I don't want to talk about Black-ish. Let's talk about you playing basketball growing up in Indiana. Like, what if I did the whole interview as if he were Teddy? Like, not even acknowledging that he's Anthony Anderson.
Like, just growing up Teddy?
Yeah.
40-year-old accountant.
Just, what was the name of their team? Were they like the Tornadoes or something like that? Because they were in Indiana?
Deering Tornadoes.
What? Okay, so Teddy, when you were playing with the Tornadoes,
you know Julie's from Chicago.
Is she really?
She transferred to Deering after moving from Chicago.
That's what I'm talking about. So wait, she spent some more time in high school before the 6 years that she was in Indiana. Herbie, I'm telling you. $100 if you get me the actress who played Julie on the show. $100.
Daniela Deutscher?
It doesn't matter what her name is. $100 if you get her on the show.
Do you know who she's married to?
No.
Take a guess.
Okay. Is it someone from like the NBC Saturday morning family?
Yes.
Is she married to Wesley Jonathan?
No, she's not.
C-I-T-Y.
City Guys, great show.
Is she married to the other guy from City Guys?
No, I don't know that guy's name either.
Is she married to Anthony Anderson?
She is not, but you're close.
She's married to Reggie Theus.
No. We said his name earlier.
Jay Hernandez?
She is married to Jay
no!
Hernandez.
No!
Since 2006.
Get out of here! So they met on that show. God, we got to get both of them on because I want to talk to Jay Hernandez about Friday Night Lights and Suicide Squad and stuff.
And Crazy Beautiful.
Less about that.
With Kirsten Dunst.
Less about that. That's so crazy.
And Hostel.
I don't really want to talk to him about that. We'll never get her now because Jay Hernandez is still doing stuff. Like, he's still, like, doing significant acting. Is she still acting?
I'm looking at her filmography. It ends after 2006.
Okay. Huh. I still say, here's what I want. I want you to try and get Anthony Anderson, and I want you to try to get her. and I'll put a bounty on it. $100 for Julie, $200 for Anthony Anderson. But I'm only going to conduct the interview asking him questions as if he's Teddy.
I'm just wondering, is he going to roll with it? Or like
hang up.
Three questions and he's like, man, you ain't going to ask me anything about Anthony Anderson? And we're like, you know it's a character, right?
What if I only ask him questions about character? Like what if I'm like, man, it's interesting to me that you went from playing basketball at Deering to robbing ATM machines here in Chicago. Like if I just transition and now you've settled down to have a really nice family and be like, you know, I'm really surprised that I didn't know that Lawrence Fishburne was in your family. And I think that that's great. How did you feel about The Matrix? And your father saving us from the rise of the machines. I don't know if I could get away with that.
Oh, and the other girl, Megan Partland, was in every episode of Hang Time also.
She was the cheerleader, right?
Like, yeah, but not really.
Like, she hung out with everyone who was on the team.
Mary Beth Pepperton. So she was there for 6 years, too. Just dumb kids in Indiana, apparently.
Some people apparently don't get it, what we're doing right now, because they're mad at you because you don't think Dick Butkus is in football.
Did he? Dick Butkus play football?
Oh, man. Someone texted and said, Lawrence, is there a reason why you give so many female guests in sports a voice on your show? Why wouldn't I? We talk with people who we think are interesting. To cut off an entire gender seems like a really stupid thing to do. And everybody that we... Tell me a guest that we've had on the show that you haven't liked. Back in the day when we used to be able to get Jen Latta. You didn't like Jen Latta? Layla Rahimi? Kelly Krull? Yesterday, Malika Andrews was great talking with her. We like to talk with people, and it really doesn't matter what their background is. That's the way I roll. But I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to talk about it. The Rock and Goldberg both played football. Former heavyweight champions, both actors in movies. We are aware. Thank you.
I mean, did The Rock really play football? He played for Canada. That doesn't count.
Well, he played in Miami until he hurt himself. That counts. He wasn't no damn good. And now look at him. Now he's not even The Rock anymore. You can't, he's not even Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is Dwayne Johnson. That's a fascinating case study. The fact that he and his ex-wife are still CEO and COO of his production company. And like, they hang out, like they're cool. Danny's like now a big like weightlifter and stuff. Crazy.
And also, I was just thinking about The Rock. What does he turn down? Because it seems like every single movie is a dumb movie.
Yeah.
Like, this one is coming out as Skyscraper. He just did a movie a couple years ago. It was like San Andreas.
Yeah.
The Rampage movie he filmed from Chicago.
I actually like San Andreas better than I expected to. And I feel bad that I liked it.
It's just like his agent calls up, hey, man, we got a movie. And he's like, hey, say no more. I got it.
I'm in.
Sign me in.
This segment brought to you by Subway. Wrap your hands around Subway restaurant Savvy Rotisserie Chicken, rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. Enjoy tender rotisserie-style chicken topped off with savory Caesar sauce fit for an emperor. Try one today at Subway. And shout out to Northwestern. Northwestern football coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. We're a little bit behind. We'll take a break. We'll talk baseball with Bruce Levine next here on The Score. Hang time.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.